Now, we are going to do things a little bit different this morning. Change. What we really felt we wanted to do is we want to give time, and we want to give a good chunk of the rest of our time to just waiting on God, to seeing what God wants to do this morning. We were right there, right then. So we're going to be really quick, and then we're going to go back there. And we're going to worship a little bit, and we're going to see what God wants to do. Now, I don't know what your expectations were when you thought about coming to church this morning, or you got here. Maybe there were the classic Mr. Bean, going to sit there and snore off, or, you know, hopefully we're not meeting those expectations. We're going above that. Maybe you've come with really high expectations, and you've come going, I'm coming to church because God's going to change my life. That should be our response every day, is God is going to change my life. In every moment, God can come in his suddenly, and he's going to be there, and he's going to change things. And so we want to spend just a couple of moments just looking at a few things, following on with the whole Kingdom of Heaven series that we've been doing. And we're going to look at power, and that we have a kingdom of power that we have access to. And in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. He says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Everybody can talk, some better than others, some considerably better than others. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom we have access to, is not just about talking, but it's about power. And where does that power come from? Power comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus came to show us how the kingdom of God operates, which is in power. You look at everything he did, he moved with power. Power to change lives, power to turn around situations, power to heal, power to restore, power to break down strongholds. And that's power we have access to. Says in the Bible, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we're going to show a little video clip in a minute while we get that ready. And, you know, very often we become Christians and we accept Jesus into our life. We might, you know, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, but then we kind of really limit what the Holy Spirit does. We kind of put him in a certain little area and we don't let him have access to everything that's going on. And Jay John's going to explain it better than I can.
3 verse 20, where it has the imagery of Jesus knocking on the door of a house. If you hear the knock, open the door, let Jesus in. Come on in. I know we've probably, 99% of us here have done that. Come on in. But where's he gone? You see, it's very easy to say, come on in, and then open a cupboard. Get in there. So you kind of say, he's in, where is he? You know, interesting that the Bible says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. There are three do nots with regard to the Spirit, the breath of God. Don't quench the breath of God. Don't resist the breath of God. Don't grieve the breath of God. So what we've got to do is say, come in, take him down to the basement to clear out the cobwebs. Take him to the attic to clear out the bats. Come into the sitting room. Come into the dining room. Come into this room. I want you in every area of my life.
Yeah, told you could explain it better than I could. We want to have the Holy Spirit access everywhere in our lives, every sphere we move in, everything we do. We want to have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, John records it in chapter 14 and verse 12. So very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do greater things than these. Jesus moved in power. because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit moving within. And we can do the same. So how can we move in power? Well, there's three quick things that we can, areas we have access to power. The first one is in our worship. And hopefully you experienced a bit of that this morning. I know I did. The Holy Spirit was moving through our worship. And what is worship? It's the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration. What is reverence? Reverence is a deep respect. It's a deep, and where does respect come from? It's from knowing the qualities and the things that someone or something has done. And so our worship comes out of experience. Our worship comes out of knowing what God has done in us and what he's doing through us. You know, in our worship, we often say, you know, our worship isn't just words, and it's not. If our worship on a Sunday ever becomes just singing words, then we've got it all wrong. Which is why I am so thankful. And I don't know who had bets on whether I'd cry this morning, because I often do when I start speaking. But it's such a privilege to lead a great team of worship leaders. But our worship needs to be more than words. You know, when we do things and we ask God for things and to change things in our life, and we do it out of a spirit and a heart, ooh, hello, of worship. Thanks, Benjamin. You know, in its true sense, then God responds. You know, look at Acts chapter 16, and it's talking about Paul and Silas when they were in prison. In verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And that's the key bit, praying and singing hymns. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. There's power in our worship. There's power in the things that we sing, in the things we declare, when we do it out of a heart of reverence and adoration. No, but it goes beyond that as well, because it says a little later on in verse 30 that you know, the jailer found out what was going on and he was about to kill himself, and Paul and Silas said, no, don't do it. We're all still here. And it had such an impact on the jailer that the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, your worship doesn't just affect you, it affects those around you. When you worship, and you truly worship, you get hold of the words that you're singing or the words you're listening to, and they really get rooted deep inside. They don't just affect you, they don't just change your circumstance, but they change those around you. It starts to have an effect on the people around you. You know, when we come to God with a heart of worship, things begin to happen. So that's the first thing is worship. So the second thing we have access to is in our prayer. And Alex is going to come and share.
Thank you. So I snagged the prayer section because I just absolutely love prayer. I love worship as well and everything we get to do in our relationship with God. But I just love prayer. It became really obvious to me when I became a Christian how important it is to pray. We've got access to the creator of the whole world, our Father. We need to be in constant communication with him, don't we? We need to move in power in prayer, and we need to be continual prayers, because it says in the Bible to pray at all times. So, yeah, prayer is really a really important tool in the kingdom of heaven. If we want to see the kingdom of heaven brought to earth, we can't be lazy. We need to pray. And there's just a few things about prayer that we want to tell you this morning that hopefully will stir you and hopefully will get you wanting some prayer at the end, or wanting to pray through other people at the end and leave here a bit more stirred up as a prayer warrior. Our prayers have power. So Jesus tells us that we can pray with confidence and without hesitation. And it says in the Bible, all power on heaven and earth has been given to you, to you, to you, and to you, to everybody in each section of this room, so to us. So all power has been given to us. So we can exert power, like Pete said, in worship. We can also exert power and see the kingdom come when we pray, and when we pray boldly with confidence and without hesitation. And I just think we're the hands and feet of Jesus, aren't we? Can't say that properly. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, aren't we? So we are the ones that he's left on this earth. He is, the Holy Spirit is in all of us if we choose to accept him into our lives. But, you know, in a physical sense, people can't always see Jesus, and it's up to us sometimes to bring his power and bring his kingdom by being the ones that are willing to stand and pray for people, speak words over people, because we are the ones that he's left here to do his work. He's commissioned us to be warriors, to be prayer warriors. So we need to pray in all situations, through ourselves and through other people, and I'll get onto that a little bit later. Be proactive in prayer. Praying for each other, we've got a great passage that I'm hoping is going to come up from James. It says, this is what the Bible instructs us to do. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And just like Pete said when he opened, we want to have a kingdom of power, don't we? We want to be effective. We don't want to be people that sit around and try and solve things in our own strength. We don't want to be people that sulk when things aren't going our way. We want to be people whose first response is to pray, because it's not just healing. It's all sorts of situations that we go through in life, and we want to take hold of that with prayer. Does that make sense? I hope that's coming across okay. We need to be effective, and we need to remember that God is hearing our prayers. And I'm going to get onto a little bit about how he answers them in a minute. So how does God answer our prayers, and how can they be effective for the kingdom of God? Often when we pray for people, as a congregation, in small groups, when we're supporting our friends in prayer, God will give us prophetic words. He'll give us things to say over the person that we're praying for. He'll give us wise advice that will bring release and that will hopefully bring power for people to live their lives in a better way, knowing that God is for them and that he's working for them. So there's power in actually praying for each other. And the Holy Spirit that's in us will maybe give them a release and an answer straight away, or maybe it'll be later. But if you give them a word, perhaps after you've prayed for them, maybe they'll go home and dwell on that and think on that, and that'll bring release into their life. Or maybe instantly in that moment, God will work in their lives because of you praying for them. And I was thinking about this a little bit this week as we were preparing for this preach. I've absolutely, when I've prayed for other people before, seen instant answers to prayer. I've laid hands on friends and they've been healed, which has been fantastic. I've prayed about their job situations and they've texted me in the week saying, you know what, God's moved in that. There's been an answer and things have moved forward. And in my own life, when I've prayed, there's been instant answers. I've prayed for financial provision before and I've gone home and the money's been on the doorstep, not literally, but through the letterbox. I've cried out to God for guidance in situations, and really instantly it's come. But I was saying to Pete the other day, actually, when praying for things in life, probably 9 times out of 10, I've had to pray persistently and wait on things and continually pray. And if you were here last week, I know a lot of us were at kids camp, but if you were here, David talked about persistence in prayer being actually a really key faith-building tool, because sometimes it takes a long time for a prayer to be answered because it's just not the right time for that thing in your life to come to fruition, for that thing that you're hoping for to happen. And we sometimes have to pray persistently, but there is real power in that, you know, because God will always answer. There'll always be an outcome to that situation because God is for you, God is good. It might be that you're instantly healed, but it might be that through time and with medical help and with more prayer and more faith building that you're healed a little bit later on. But I really do believe that actually a lot of the time we do have to keep praying. And actually when I thought about that, I thought that's really, really powerful. Yes, God will answer our prayers instantly, and also God will answer our prayers eventually. So be encouraged by that. If that's you today, you're not alone. And actually, at the end, we want to allow time to pray again for that situation that you've been asking God for and keep standing with you in that. But also, we want you to keep trusting in that because God is faithful. And, when we pray, and we're going to pray a little bit later, we want to pray in the Spirit. Like Pete said at the beginning, hopefully the worship lifted your spirit this morning. Hopefully you felt God in you. You felt the Holy Spirit rising in you, speaking to you, comforting you, stirring things in you. And it's important that when we do pray and when we do worship, that we do it with a passion and we do it with the Holy Spirit within us. because without it, we're ineffective, aren't we? There's no point just praying and thinking, oh, this isn't going to work. Really pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same thing, and we need to pray in his name and pray that the Spirit's going to do stuff. I was serving at the One event a couple of weeks ago. Put your hand up if you're at the One event. It was great, wasn't it? And I had the privilege of stewarding the Jared Cooper seminars. And Jared Cooper leads a big church in Hull. And he was doing a seminar on the Holy Spirit. So every single day, it was on the Holy Spirit. And because he's a well-known man, he's travelled around the world, he's seen signs and wonders, people were coming with a real expectation that actually he could touch their lives, and if he prayed for them or he spoke over them, that big things would happen. And big things did. There were incredible things, incredible instant answers to prayer that we saw in those meetings. We saw a woman get up out of her wheelchair. We saw lots of other things. A woman actually came to me and said, I can't get to Jared because he's so busy, but please can you tell him that I came into this meeting not being able to hear, and I'm leaving hearing. So isn't that amazing? Can I just have some water, Pete? Oh, my mouth's so dry. Do you know, I can stand in front of 300 children every day, but you lot are a little bit scary. Okay. What struck me, though, in Jared's seminars was that although he was using the tools the Holy Spirit had given him, he was completely relying on Jesus to pray for people. He kept saying, you are the same as me. Yes, I can do this, but so can you. Each one of you are those people that God has commissioned to go out into the world and pray for people. Pray that the kingdom, which is perfect, will impact people's lives on earth, that it will heal people, that it will bring people to him, that it will restore people and meet their every need. And, you know, I just thought, wow, he's so right. He had one of his assistant pastors with him who a couple of weeks before had prayed over a baby that had died in Africa. And as he started praying in the Holy Spirit, the baby came back to life. And he's a guy from Hull. That's down the road. And, you know, he talked about how he felt unqualified, but he had absolute faith in Jesus, that if he could just lay his hand on this baby, and because he's a Christian and filled with the Holy Spirit, the exciting things could happen. And it did, because now this child has got life. And these humble guys just reminded me throughout all these seminars through the weekend that you and I can do the same thing. If we're willing to have that faith, we've got the tools. If we're willing to accept them from Jesus, we've got them as well, and we can be just as effective as those guys that often we look up to and think, wow, we need to be in their meeting. But actually, we need to be doing the same things in our meetings that they do. So yeah. Very exciting stuff. Last little points, and then I'm going to hand back to Pete. When we pray, although we need to remember that, like I said before, it can happen instantly, we just need to remember, and I really feel this is somebody in the, feel this is for somebody in the room today, that God is never a minute too soon or a minute too late. And I don't know if that resonates with you or if you've experienced that before, but I definitely have. And I really felt that's something that hopefully when we pray, you know, we can pray over you later, that whatever you're waiting for, whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're asking God for again and again in prayer, he's never a minute too soon and he's never a minute too late, because he's your Father and he's got perfect plans for you in your life. And one more thing that came to mind when thinking about being kingdom people and praying is really seizing the moment. Because I don't know about you, but I find that really difficult sometimes. There's the girl at work that's crying again because a family member's poorly. Do we seize the moment often enough and go, oh, can I pray instead of there? And there's a time and a place for that, and we do need to be comforting and kind. But actually, I do think prayer is one of the big tools in the kingdom of heaven, as has been others going on about for probably the past 10 minutes. But it's really important that you remember that. And we came across this week an image of Bear Grylls, who is a TV celebrity guy. He is, oh my gosh, I'm in awe of him. He's everything I'm not. He survives in the wild. He loves camping. He hunts and cooks his own meals. And he does these celebrity TV shows where people have to survive in the wild, basically. But he's also, and credit to him, is a really open and honest Christian, and is open about his faith. And this is him when he met President Barack Obama recently and chatted with him. And he didn't just chat and introduce himself, he offered to pray for him. Isn't that a powerful image? This guy praying for the President of the United States, who is a very influential person, as you all know. So I just want to leave that up on the screen for a few minutes. We need to be kingdom warriors in prayer. I've gone through quite a few points this morning, but I want to say prayer is such a powerful tool. When we pray with faith, things happen. And I'm really excited to pray with you at the end, if you would like that. So I'm going to hand back to Pete for our final point.
Yeah, so there's power in our worship, there's power in our prayer, and finally, there's power in our waiting. And when Jesus was talking to the disciples just before he went back to heaven in Acts, verse 1, chapter 4, he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait." What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Just wait. You know, when we're patient, which is really hard sometimes, I know that, I'm speaking to me, we allow God time to move. It's, too easy to ask God to do something. Like, "Oh, God, I'm praying to you, please, will you do this? Will you come and meet with me?" And then rush off, because our schedule deems that we have to rush off. You know, how often do we want God to do stuff to our timing, to our schedule, to our timetable? To go, "God, can you do this? But can you do it now? Because I've got to, get a bus in 2 minutes. Or, "God, can you do this now? Ooh, telly." You know, we need to allow God time. You know, and God wants us to spend time with him. You know, he wants us. He's like, "Come on, just give me some time." Joyce Meyer says there's two ways to wait. There's two types of person who wait. You can wait passively. And she says, a passive person hopes something good will happen and is willing to sit around and wait to see if it does. After a short time, though, they give up, saying, "That's it. I've waited and I've waited and nothing's happened." And, they just get on with the rest of their life. They sit there going, "Oh, I hope it happens someday. God, please, will you do it?" Great. But there's the expectant person who waits. And the expectant person who waits is hopeful, believing the answer is just around the corner, due to arrive at any minute. It's that suddenly again. Their belief is not a passive thing. Their heart is full of hope, expecting the problem to be solved at any moment. They wake up every morning expecting to find the answer. They may wait and wait, but suddenly what they've been waiting for happens. You know, are we going to be passive waiters or expectant waiters? Are we going to sit and just go, "I've been praying for this thing for years and it's not happened yet"? Or are we going to go, "I've been praying for this thing for years and I know it's coming, it's coming"? Like Alex said, when we pray for something, God answers it. God doesn't go, "Give me a decade to decide." He answers it. Whether he says yes, no, or wait, he answers it. If you have been praying for healing for something for years, God's healed you, and all he's saying is just hold on to that healing. Hold on to it with faith. It's coming. It is coming. Just keep holding on. So what are your expectations, like we said at the beginning, for this morning? You know, are we going to be waiting in expectation? Are we expecting God to move right now, to change our circumstances right here? I hope so. I hope this morning's, something starts to stir within you and you've gone, actually, God can do it. God can do it now. Faith begin to rise. Phil and the team, why don't you come back? And that's what we're going to do this morning. So there's power in our worship, there's power in our prayer, and there's power in our waiting. And we're going to do each of those things in just a minute. We're going to worship again. We're going to come into the presence of God with adoration, with reverence. You know, we often sing the song, "Waiting Here For You," and I find it really ironic, and I know I do this sometimes when leading, and we'll sing, "We're waiting here for you," and then we'll go to the next song. How often do we just wait? You know, that song says, if faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We've come with expectation, waiting here for you. You are everything you've promised. Your faithfulness is true. And we're desperate for your presence. Is anyone desperate this morning for God's presence? Just desperate, just to be in his presence. Where lives change, where situations turn around, where you can be restored, where you can be healed, where you can just... Our prayer for this morning is that we don't go out the same as we came in. If we do, we've missed it. God is waiting for us. God wants to change things in our life. So we're going to spend time, we're going to wait, and just see what God wants to do. By his Holy Spirit, just come and change things in our lives. So why don't you just bow your heads and just wait upon God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've already been moving this morning. God, we thank you that you've been touching lives already this morning. And Father, we pray now that you would come and meet every single one of us. Where we're at, what we're facing, God, you know it all. We just want to wait for you. So Holy Spirit, come.